You've heard of the party line when a politician says what's expected of them. How about the county line? No, that's not what you run for if you get caught trying to stuff a ballot box. It's a process, if I understand right, exclusive to New Jersey, which allows county bosses, we still have those, believe it or not, to significantly increase the odds of their, well, let's just say preferred candidate to win an election. Now, how's this done? Does the county line make a difference? Is this still keeping an election fair for both the voter and the candidates by doing this? Our first guest today is here to present the facts of this matter. She is the director of the Democracy and Justice Program at the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice. Hanal Patel, how are you today, Hanal?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
Good to have you here too. I think for the first time, make a lot of people aware of what is happening here. By the way, the website for the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, you read more about this and their other work, njisj.org. We do have that link at our homepage as well. So explain what the county line process involves and what the goal of it is.
Yeah, happy to. I'm so glad more and more people are becoming aware of this issue and what a problem it is. You know, you just said it. It is, in a lot of ways, unique to us in New Jersey. So if you're a voter in New Jersey, you are probably used to it almost. Like, you, when you go vote in New Jersey, you probably see this, and you probably think every state does it this way. They don't. When we go to vote in New Jersey, think about the primary. When we vote, we often have these things called columns. We have a grid system on our ballot. So you have at the top of the ticket whoever is running for the quote-unquote biggest office, right? Whether it's, you know, next year it's going to be the presidential, or some years it's the governor's race or the U.S. Senate, whatever, what have you, top of the ticket. And then it goes down to member of Congress or state legislature, and then it goes down to your local level offices. And they are all listed in these columns, right? And you might have other names on your grid, your ballot grid, but they end up in different, you know, they sometimes look randomly scattered all over the place. As one of my colleagues call it, it's sometimes as if some candidates are in ballot pine barrens, right? We usually call it ballot Siberia, but ballot pine barrens here for New Jersey. That column creates a on average 35-point advantage for the candidates who are on that column, because it suggests to the voters that these are the serious candidates. If you go see how other states vote, they don't do it this way. They don't have this grid system. How most states do it is that they'll have in a box everyone who's running for an office, everyone in your primary ballot, whether you're voting in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, they'll have, here are the people voting for, running for president. Here are the people running for U.S. Senate. Here are the people running for Congress. And they just have them listed in a box. So it's clear to you who's running against each other, and then you get to pick. It doesn't create this essential endorsement right on your ballot. That goes to your point, Chris, where you have these party bosses that we have here in New Jersey who gets to decide who's on this ballot. So those endorsements transfer right onto the ballot, and the way our ballot is designed creates this huge advantage to the people on that line. It is a problem. It is a problem in our democracy, and we deserve better. Voters here in New Jersey deserve better. People who want to run for office and don't want to kiss the ring of a party boss deserve better. We should be able to decide, hey, here are our candidates. They're running for office. They're all running for office in this party. We should get to decide who we want to have be the candidate without it creating all of this sort of confusion on the ballot itself.
And why this is of immediate concern, although given the process, the attempt to change anything regarding any process in New Jersey, you'll be too late to do anything about it, is the candidacy of the governor's wife, Tammy Murphy, for the U.S. Senate seat that's currently held by Robert Menendez. And she has obviously gotten the blessings of, they call them county commissioners, county executives, some title like that. But as Hennell says, they're basically county bosses. They're the, I guess, the surviving generation of the George Norcross era, if we can say, make that comparison. Although he says he's stepping away from politics, but we'll see about that as this race goes on in particular. But Tammy Murphy has basically been ordained to be the candidate no matter what the vote happens, you know, no matter how many voters come out, because as you referenced, the New Jersey Policy Perspective did a report on this back in 2020. Julia Sass Rubin was the author, and I believe they're updating this based on the most recent elections. There is no question that if you are on the county line, you are going to win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I mean, look, our issue here is voters in this state, which happens to be one of the most diverse states in the country, should get to decide who our candidates are, who our elected officials are. It should be up to the voters, not a handful of county bosses. So that's the issue here. And yeah, that's the challenge here with the first lady coming into this race and then the county bosses supporting her, and then that means that the county bosses will then lock it up, right, with this, because the system allows that, will lock up the line, and here's what we will end up with. It should be that we all get to decide, right? If the first lady wants to run, fine. Candidates should be able to run for office. Put your hat in the ring. Go campaign to voters. Let the voters decide who ends up on it. I will also, just to correct you a little bit, there is something we can do here. If we don't like this system, we actually have an action of alert on our website. You already cited to it. You can call your county officials, your county party chairs, and say, hey, we don't want to use the line next year. Stop using the line. Let us get to decide, truly decide our candidates. If not statewide in New Jersey, Sussex County, Salem County, they don't use the line. They get to go vote and decide their own candidates. Those counties, these county parties can choose not to use the line, and they should. They can make that decision ahead of the primary next year. So we ask everybody to contact them. We have a convenient link that'll help you do that.
And you can find that at njisj.org. Again, we have the link at our homepage. We're talking with Hanel Patel, who is the director of the Democracy and Justice Program at the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. This process like this, I can only imagine, too, if I'm a concerned citizen, quote-unquote, and I want to run for office, but if I see the statistics, I hear the reports, I just see what the current state of the ballot structure is and what goes into it, well, I have a choice to make. Either become a suck-up to a county boss who I might not even agree with and what they want of me, or I say, as a qualified person, at least I think I'm a qualified person to run for public office, nah, I'll just sit out and go about my business. I mean, how much meaningful political wisdom, knowledge, experience, and talent are we losing because of this process?
I think that's an excellent point, and that is inherent in our problem, in our issues here, right? Inherent in this particular issue, because you know, if in another state, the idea is, if you decide you want to run for office because you're concerned about something, right? You decide, hey, I'm going around in my town. I see a problem. I see that there's a city council election next year and I want to run for that. Or maybe you want to run for state legislature. Maybe you want to run for Congress. Whatever you want to do, you decide you want to run. The idea should be, in theory, that you go find out the rules for running. You get a candidate petition. You get the sufficient number of signatures you need from your neighbors, other people who are eligible to vote in that election, and you submit it, and then you'll end up on the ballot. Now, it's not easy to run in those cases either, right? You have to do the legwork. You're going to have to knock on doors, contact people. There's a lot of money needed to run in an election, right? To make sure you can get to the number of voters you need to get to win. There are challenges in place already in running in a normal election. But in New Jersey, it's an even bigger obstacle because you know if you decide you want to run and you do even the barest amount of research, you realize that in order to win, you'll probably need to be on the line. You will realistically need to be on the line. So, yeah, you'll get those signatures, but you know that actually who you need to convince is not the voters, not really your neighbors. You need to go kiss the ring of the party boss to get on the line because that'll actually mean you win. So that who ends up in office isn't really right there isn't really a choice from of the voters. It's from those party bosses, because the candidates themselves recognize that. Those party bosses, who are overwhelmingly in New Jersey white, in a state that is almost a majority people of color, which also creates the disparities we see in our elected offices.
Yeah, not just by race or color, but by gender as well. I mean, the women in office in New Jersey and the state house, it's been making small inroads, albeit inroads, but still a lot of work to be done there. We have about a minute and change left here. As far as constitutionality, didn't this process at one time exist in California and activists sued to bring it to an end, wound up in front of the Supreme Court, and they struck it down?
It was a different system in California, a little bit. This is unique to us. And actually, to your point about the questions of this, is there is pending litigation on it. There's actually a lawsuit brought by New Jersey Working Families and some other plaintiffs. An institute, my organization, we actually filed an amicus brief in support of it. The idea being that we, all of us, believe that the line is unconstitutional. It's in federal court right now. And we are all awaiting a decision. Federal court, unfortunately, just moves slowly for all cases, not just this one.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little while, and more likely than not, we're not going to get a decision in time for next year's primary, a really major primary. 2024, we have both a presidential race and a U.S. Senate race here in New Jersey. So we need to ideally, we need to address this before we get a decision from the courts. We don't need to wait on them. Counties can do it. The state can do it. So we need to speak up right now.
And one of the ways you can do that, as Hendel said, is through the website for the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, NJISJ.org. There's a link. There's more information. Everything you need to know above and beyond what we talked about here. But now that you know what the county line process is all about, what its underlying purpose is, hopefully you will want to raise your voice about it and object to it as loudly and as frequently and as effectively as you possibly can. NJISJ.org. One of the ways that you could do that, she is the director of the Democracy and Justice Program at the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice. Hendel Patel, thank you so much for raising awareness about this very important issue when it comes to anyone wanting a fair, equal election. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.